Welcome to the Humans Under Grace Bible Study Podcast. We're getting ready to have an old-fashioned line-on-line, precept-on-precept study of God's Word to search out those deeper truths and gain a greater understanding of the Bible. We would love for you to join us today as we dig in and learn what it is God would truly have us to know from the letter that He wrote to us. Hello there, and God bless you. Welcome into the study today. We're going to be picking it up in Matthew chapter 27, verse 48 in just a moment. Now, where we left off in the last lecture, Christ had just called out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it's a very misunderstood verse, even at that time, because at that time they felt that, or they believed that he was calling out for Elijah to come and help him. And nowadays, it gets misconstrued and taken out of context, but as we went through the last study, it was him actually teaching Psalm 22, showing that that prophecy, 1,000 years before this day, was being fulfilled at that very moment. Now, as we pick it up in verse 48, we ask for clarity and understanding from our Father in Jesus' name, and verse 48 reads, "And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." I see they didn't understand. Elijah wasn't coming to save him. Verse 50. "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost," yielded up the spirit. And in John, St. John chapter 19, verse 30, is where it says that he cried out after he received the vinegar and said, "It is finished." As we discussed in the last study, the last words of Psalm 22, after being translated to the Greek and then translated into the English, says, "It is finished." Verse 51. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." Now that veil being rent in twain from top to bottom, that shows that no man did that. God rent that veil. He rent that veil that the high priest could only pass once a year, on the day of Passover, to go in and be in the Holy of Holies. And he rent it from top to bottom to let us know, come on in. Come on in and talk to me. Through Christ's blood, we are able to go to him in prayer and go into that the Holy of Holies that he opened up for all. Verse 52, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose." Now this would be God gave a glimpse into that dimension, that spiritual dimension of those who had just passed. The people in the city would have known them. And what it was a sign of the resurrection, that they weren't dead. They were still alive. They were just in the spirit. They were with God at that moment. Verse 53, "And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." Again, given that sign, given that evidence that the resurrection and the resurrection of the dead, that when you pass, you don't die. You just pass into, your spirit returns to God, as it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 54, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God." Now, the centurion, who is a Roman soldier, who would have believed all this was just superstition, it converted him. Right then, he believed this is the Christ. This is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And you've got these high priests that should have known this, that are ignoring it still all the while. Verse 55, "And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalena, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple." This is very important right here to understand who Joseph of Arimathea is. This man, Joseph, is Mary, the mother of Christ's, uncle. Why is that important? Verse 58, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be delivered. So Joseph was able to take the body of Christ. The reason that's important is because to be able to do that, to be able to make claim on a body, you have to be kin, next of kin, and it's kinsman redeemer. Therefore, he went in and was able to take this body because he was Christ's uncle or great uncle. Now, why is that important? Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. They called him the Tin Man. There's a very interesting documentary called Traditions of Glastonbury by E. Raymond Capt. And it goes into, in Glastonbury, England, there were tin mines. And there's the story of Joseph and a young lad coming to those mines during the year, around the teenage years or so, and they believed it to be Christ that was traveling with his uncle and working in the mines. That's important because Joseph was a rich man through those mines, through the work that he did. Now, the reason that's important is because it brings to pass the prophecy in Isaiah 53, verse 9, where it says, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Now, he made his grave with the wicked. He was hung on that cross and died amongst those. But then in death, he was buried in this rich man's tomb. Verse 59, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, that being being with the rich in his death. And he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver, see, they're still just in the dark here, said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. You can see they're getting a little worried about this. 64, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Well, they're trying to set this up like there's no way that he could resurrect. But, you know, they might try something, so I'm going to need you to put some guards out there. You know, they're trying to involve the Romans some more. Verse 65, Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as ye can. So go put your little ragtag soldiers out there. Pretty much he's washed his hands of it. He's done with this. Verse 66, so they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Those that were supposed to be on watch, they passed out. They were gone. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Christ Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. He already told you this. What this angel is saying is he already told you this. He told you he was going to raise on the third day. That temple had been rebuilt. But you can come in here and see where he was. Verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Now, kind of an important thing on that lo, I have told you, Christ had told them before. I'm going to rise on the third day, but y'all go on ahead to Galilee. I'll meet you there. And they're still kind of milling around, hanging around, and, you know, not necessarily, you know, they're heartbroken, and they're still mourning him, but he warned them of all these things that were coming to pass. Verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And these chief priests, this would be those that synagogue of Satan. In Revelation, where Christ would warn us, don't be deceived by those who are not of our brother Judah. They claim to be of our brother Judah, but are not, and do lie, but are the synagogue of Satan. That's who these chief priests are. And now these fellas that couldn't stand up, that passed out, they're running back in there, and they're going, hey, man, look, that grave opened up. There was an earthquake. There was an angel. We bit the dust. And just to let you know, they didn't steal him. That dude rose. He resurrected. So, you know, we fouled up here. Verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. They bribed them. Now, what kind of person? You just saw the Lord Jesus Christ resurrect. That tomb was opened. He was transfigured. He was out of there. The angel showed up. And you're going to take a bribe? That's pretty tough. Verse 13, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. So blame it on them. Oh, y'all didn't keep watch. Y'all slept on watch. You know, in the military, to sleep on watch is an offense punishable by death. And they're going to allow him to, they're going to allow these two not only to live, but they're bribing them to say this. Just say, oh, no, it was our fault. We fell asleep and they stole them. Verse 15, so they took the money. They took that. Oh, excuse me. We skip verse 14. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Meaning we'll take care of it. Don't, you know, we make sure y'all won't get punished. Verse 15, so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Again, claim to be of our brother Judah, but are not, and do lie, and are the synagogue of Satan. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now this world in the Greek is eon, or aeon, and it means the world age, even unto the seventh trump. He is with us, and forever. As it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he gives us power over serpents and scorpions. And that power, as he just said right there, and Jesus spake unto them in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and he gives us that power through his name to tread over serpents and scorpions. You can't forget that the scorpions are that locust army. They have the stings in their tails. That's power over Satan and his army and his minions through Christ's name. Now, I hope you've enjoyed this book of Matthew. It's been a great book. Go back to chapter 4 and we see Christ overcoming the temptation and showing us how to cut it whenever it comes to Satan tempting us in this flesh. And then chapter 13 with such an important parable as the parable of the tares, telling us exactly what happened through Christ's own mouth in the garden, how the synagogue of Satan came about. And then that very prophetic and important chapter of chapter 24, where he lays out the seven seals and tells us exactly how it's going to go down in the end, what not to fall for, and who to follow, and how to spot falseness. And then all the way up here to that crucifixion, that for one and all time, that sacrifice to free all of us, that we might receive that salvation. And then this resurrection showing that death was defeated. I hope y'all have enjoyed this as much as I've enjoyed bringing it to you. God bless y'all. You have a great day. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Humans Under Grace Bible Study Podcast. If you have any questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, you can write to us at Humans Under Grace, P.O. Box 1467, Tatum, Texas, 75691, or you can email us at questions@humansundergrace.com. Thank you, and God bless you.